Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
Good world, it's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. I think this is episode 60, either 66 or 67. Literally forget to check every single time right before I turn the mic on. I will never learn, so, but whatever. Really tired of talking about Kyrie and LeBron and all that nonsense. You know, that's just going to work itself out. Did it with Melo. You know, there's only so many times I can ask these NBA guys what do they think of the situation. So, you know, and the NBA is kind of in a dead period otherwise, but the high school hoops is popping right now. Just came off an amazing summer AAU season. More stuff going on, guys reclassifying, committing, big-time recruits committing. So had to bring on my boy, Frankie Kaye. Frankie, what's good, sir?
Yo, what's going on?
Just saying, before we turn the mic down, it's been a minute since we had you in the booth, man.
Yeah, I think the last time I was here was when Melo dropped 92 when I went on a whole rant. good times. That was the last time I was here.
Yeah. I mean, we only bring you on when we really need the insight and the commentary. But
I'll rant again.
Well, number one, how you doing? I feel like you pop in, you sit at your desk, you don't talk to anyone, and then I leave way earlier than you do every day. So it's nice to be able to sit here with you and actually chat. So what's good, man?
Damn, you blew up my spot. Shit. I'm doing well. It's been a long summer, bro.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's been a lot of trips to a lot of tournaments with a lot of teenagers around. So glad to be in New York and, more adult based atmosphere.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been running around. You just wrote all this shit out for me. You went to Eurocamp in Italy, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Adidas, Peach Jam, Adidas Gauntlet. Those were both in
South Carolina,
right? Yep. Right around the same time. Nations, yep. And Under Armour Association. So, mm-hmm. That's a lot of miles you've racked up, man.
Yeah.
I guess overall, like, what do you think of the ball? Who impressed you? What were your favorite moments from the summer thus far, the AAU season?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess to even, like, before we even touch on that, let's just touch a little bit. Because I feel like Melo and Zion have a lot to do with what all these tournaments, in a way, have transpired and how they've come out. I mean, I think we can probably safely say this has been like the reemergence of high school basketball on the mainstream platform, probably on level since like LeBron was playing. And obviously when LeBron was playing, there was no social media or YouTube or any of that stuff. So I think from that perspective, I mean, you have, first of all, I don't think I've ever seen these many, like the baselines for every AAU game is now like literally 20 people standing there with camera phones. You know, you're talking the Ballers Life and all those blogs and YouTube people and Twitter people. So just amazing how, like, you know, 5 years ago, like, you were going to, you know, usually the baseline was all college coaches. Now, like, it's gotten so bad that, like, now they've devoted literally one baseline just for media and, like, literally the other baseline for college coaches, where before you used to sit with them, like, you would literally have the same chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just amazing to see from that perspective, like, just how big it's grown. Like, you know, Zion does a dunk, like, 2 minutes later. It's, like, went viral. It's all over the place. So I think that was very fascinating just from an atmosphere standpoint.
To put it in perspective, you've been covering high school ball exclusively for like 9 years now, something like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, you would know as well as anyone, like, or you've pretty much lived to see or been on the front lines to see how much the internet has played a part in this.
Right. You know, and that goes to my little rant that I'm about to go into.
Love it.
So, you know, like, I remember when the LaMelo and Zion game happened, and you had all these people that tuned in, which is great. You know, a lot of people tuning into youth basketball, but these are fans that have never watched anything other than NBA ball, have never been into an AAU gym ever, like platform, tournament. They've never been in that atmosphere. And so all of a sudden, you have all these grown men trashing these kids about how horrible the game is played, how bad the offensive sets are, this and that, the structure, this and that. And like, going back to, you know, to your point, I mean, go back to LeBron's AU games and models your favorite NBA player's game, and this is how it looked. Like, it's not AU ball has not changed. Go back to Stephen Curry's AU games, this is how it looked.
But, like, it was probably, it may have been even worse because, one, there were no cameras, so it was even more of a free-for-all. And number two, exactly. Like, I remember, like, when Brandon Jennings was playing for SCA on the West Coast, he would play there with, like, the Compton Magic, all, like, not the Oakland team, but, like, all these different California teams.
2 hours later with a different team. Yeah.
So, like, the roster literally changes game by game. Yeah. You don't know who's on what team. Exactly. Like, it's weird that, like, Melo and Zion, you know, they stuck with their team pretty much the whole season. I don't know if that really happens as much anymore, where a guy will play with one team and then another hours later.
Well, now they've stepped in, and now, like, the actual sneaker company, Nike, Adidas, like, now you're only allowed to, I think it's 4 games per weekend. Before, it used to be crazy. It'd be 4 games per day. Like, kids used to be playing at midnight, 1 a.m. It would be games literally going on to like, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. So now they stepped in. It's, like, you know, more structured, only 4 games per weekend. You know, no more than 2 games per day. And so, like, and now guys are not allowed to be in the 2 teams within the same circuit. So if you want to transfer to another team, you got to go to a whole completely different circuit. You got to go to Adidas or Under Armour. You can't stay with a Nike and go to another team.
It's like college. Like, you can't transfer within a conference.
Right. Yeah, so it's funny how people are like, well, like, AU is horrible, no structure. Like, it's like going back to your point, like, 10 years ago, bro, it was completely worse. It was the Wild Wild West. You could do whatever you wanted. You had dudes, like, sitting with, like, pimp talks and all this kind of things, coaching. It was crazy.
I mean, and AU probably matters as much, if not more, than an actual college or high school basketball season.
Right. Yeah. There's always the saying that it goes like, you know, you work on your game during the high school season, you get your scholarships during the AAU season.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only time where college coaches are actually in the same gym with 50 other top 50 prospects.
Well, head coaches, at least.
College coaches. Yeah. And even head coaches.
Because they're coaching their own teams during basketball season.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is when the scholarships are being, like, offered, delivered, you know, given out, so handed out. So, this is where, I mean, you have guys that, like, will literally sit out during the entire season if they had to make a choice just to play. Like, if you have, like, a knee injury or whatever, it would be like, well, you know what, it's not that bad. You know, we can just, you know, get, you know, some work on it during the summer. But now it's like, no, I would rather have surgery now, be ready by AU season, you know. Yeah. So it's become, like, the most important part of any, you know, prospect's calendar. But, yeah, so it was so interesting because, like, I think Melo and Zion, that matchup in Vegas, it kind of brought them into the spotlight, AAU basketball at least, and people were like, this is a horrible ball, but it's like, dude, you can only imagine how it was 10 years ago.
And I mean, like, the way the ball or big baller team plays is such an anomaly in basketball in general that you can't even really, like, that's just like a sideshow almost. Right. Like, you can't.
Well, and it's all like, but here's the thing, like, literally, that's the same offense as Zorant when he was the point guard for big ballers like 2-3 years ago. When LeVar was coaching, getting kicked out, but there was no cameras around, so no one talked about it. Like, literally. And so people are like, yeah, he's not going to develop LaMelo right, this and that. But it's like, that was literally the same offense as Zorant. That's literally the same offense as Zorant at Chino Hills when they went 35-0 and won number one in the country.
Dude, that's literally the offense the Lakers about to be running.
Exactly. You know, so it's so fascinating in that sense. And going back to Melo, like, it was literally Melo and just 4 dudes from the neighborhood, you know. And the whole point, like, LeVar, you know, when we spoke to LeVar about it, was all about, like, he wanted – see, before it was – he was always, like, the 2-3 guard. Melo was, you know, to Lonzo and Jello, where now he's going to be the point guard, the actual point guard for Chino Hills. And so he wanted to teach – sort of get Melo to learn what it's like to make players around him better. And so he grabbed literally guys that are not 5-star recruits that are just probably going to be playing D2 ball, maybe low D1, and said, make them better, you know? And I think Melo, I think me and Dennis or Posh were talking about that earlier. Like, as the AU season went on, like, he actually was putting up a lot of assists, you know, diving the ball, you know, alleys, this and that. I think he averaged like 6 or 7 assists at Adidas in Vegas.
Yeah, and he's 16, if that, 15, 16?
He's going to turn 16 August 22nd, so before we even put out this podcast, he's still 15 years old. 15.
And he's like a megastar already. Yeah. But that's the thing. He's still growing, and, you know, you could see, like, I was looking at pictures of him from their freshman year at
he was 5'10".
Chino Hills.
When we did the first photo shoot, he was 5'10". Now he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. The LaMelo story, I almost said Lonzo. LaMelo and the Lonzo story, for that matter, that story is still being written. There's a lot to go. Oh, like, he still has two full seasons of high school ball.
Exactly. High school ball. And it's ridiculous. Like, people are already trying to like pan out, like, whether he's going to be an NBA player or this and that. Like, dude.
But he's a number one. He's number one point guard in his class.
He's
now,
the number
right?
one point guard in his class, top seven in the country from class of 2017. Him and Cole Anthony, who was Greg Anthony's son, are the top two point guards in the class of 2019. So I think Greg Anthony's like 10 in the country, Model's like seven in the country. You know, they upgrade that list every other month.
Right.
I think what you saw was Melo literally saying, like, I got this. I mean, he obviously led the country in scoring this entire summer. Must have averaged at least 35 a game.
I mean, there were games when he dropped 60.
Yeah.
with ease, pretty much. And, like, he's getting, like, triple teamed. But whatever. As everyone knows, we're huge LaMelo fans out here. So we ain't got no shame in our game.
No.
But, you know, speaking of rankings, you had, the big news this week from the high school world is Marvin Bagley. Committing to Duke and reclassifying to the class of 17. So essentially he's going to Duke this fall, one would presume, right?
Yeah, next week.
He could probably be there right now as we're talking. But, you know, it's just
checking his SATs right now.
So, I mean, Bagley is, I mean, you read what, you know, scouts are saying and you just, you know, read the blogosphere and Twitter and all this, and they're saying this dude is like a can't miss prospect. And like compared to LaMelo, compared to Zion, compared to even like Michael Porter Jr., you barely even, you know, unless you're really paying attention, this guy doesn't really, you know, make a blip on the screen. And he's like the number one recruit in the country, or number one, number two, depending on who you talk to and what you read. But you know what, I don't know how you saw him play this summer. So what's the word on him? I know very little about him except watching him in Drew League. So you got to take that with a grain of salt, of course. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's playing against grown men in Drew League.
I know, and I kind of respect that.
30-plus.
There's
a couple occasions against DeMar and Baron Davis. So, I mean, he's 6'11", can play, can stretch the floor. I mean, anywhere from 2, 3 to 4. Can shoot the ball. I mean, the one comparison that like you see very often is Anthony Davis, which I'm not really sure. I mean, he can put the ball on the floor, can shoot it from deep. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy, and it goes to what you were saying, to your point about, you know, he doesn't really push the needle in terms of our, like, you know, like Zion and LaMelo and probably RJ Barrett get way more clicks in. Then Marvin is not that kind of dude that it's like the fancy, like, you know, kind of player, flashy dude that's going to have, like, you know, dropping dudes on their knee, you know, like, or crazy dunks. I mean, he's just all about, like, getting that ball in that hole, you know. And so he played for Sierra Canyon this past year. And, you know, one point, and I think we were talking about this yesterday, he's from Arizona. He's from the Tempe area, you know, Phoenix. He was at a Hillcrest Prep with DeAndre Ayton for, like, a month. So it was, a fire squad.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, DeAndre's going to Arizona. He's top
three or
five.
Four recruit,
So
they had two of the top five players of 2017 class were – in the same team for like about a month, for like three games, and then I don't know what happened, and then he ended up relocating to LA. So you know, he's 6'11", can stretch the floor, can shoot the ball, can put the ball on the floor. Not necessarily the quickest, but very, very, very like skill set, fundamentally sounded. And so if you're watching highlights, just like a 1 minute highlights, just like average 6'11 high school player that's just bigger than anybody else.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, when you're 6'11 and you can do all those things, put the ball on the floor, shoot it from deep.
Especially at that age.
Exactly.
Like he's polished.
Yeah.
You're
saying. He's in his real age group. But this is like he's supposed to be class 2017. So it's not like he got, he's got left behind or anything like that. And so I think that would be interesting. I mean, on the larger scale, like now you're looking at Duke squad, you're looking at starting lineup of, backcourt would, you know, most likely be, Gary Trent, Trevon Duvall, Grayson Allen, Wendell Carter, and Marvin Bagley, which is a fire.
I know, it's ridiculous. Lineup. It's ridiculous.
I mean, we were talking yesterday. I mean, like, this whole one and done thing, it's just, it's hard. It's extremely hard to win championships. I mean, you're asking 19-year-olds to go into a tournament that it's a one-game elimination and deliver you, what, 6 wins in 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we were to do that with the NBA, like, playoffs, and, like, the chances of Warriors winning are going to obviously decrease because one-game elimination is one-game elimination. But with that being said, I was looking back. You know, I'm like, if you want to put your money, you don't put your money on a bunch of 19-year-old kids to win it all. But I was looking back at that 2015 Duke team where it was Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, and Tyus Jones, who, by the way—
And Grayson was a freshman that year,
and
too.
Grayson,
yeah.
And Grayson. And they won it all.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody can get them to win it all, it would be Coach K.
I know. But they also had, like, Quinn Cook. Like, they had they had these pros who were juniors and seniors. Mm-hmm. And Emile Jefferson, who was at Duke for, like, 9 years, it felt like.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's just, you know, looking at Duke.
Yeah.
You know, Coach K was, like, so against the one and done for a long time, you know, didn't really buy into it. And now, like, he gets all the top guys and, you know, turns them out from, you know, Jabari, Austin Rivers. Kyrie? I mean, Kyrie. I mean, like, Ja, Justice, all those guys went pro after 1 year. So it's just not necessarily, like, a keeping up with the Joneses thing, but, like, you know, this is what you have to do in college ball now, more or less, to remain prominent. Not necessarily win at all, but to remain, you know, I think for a lot of guys, it's not about winning a national championship. It's about getting to the pros as quickly as possible.
Right.
And if Duke is the way to do that, then, you know, it's that's a good look. Like, that's a good look for Duke. That's a good look for the kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got to drive Coach K and Duke nuts that Carolina has been to back-to-back finals.
Exactly. Exactly. And it goes back to what we were saying. You know, Villanova, like, these are teams that have a bunch of 22-year-olds that when it comes to tournament time, like, these guys can, you know, at the end of the day, outlast 19-year-olds.
Yeah, and you look like Gonzaga last year made it to the finals. You know, their best player was Nigel Williams-Gloss, who had transferred from Washington after 4 years. So, you know, it's still, when it comes down to tournament time, I still always preach that, you know, experience is going to win out. But it's—I mean—it's fun as hell to watch these guys play.
Oh yeah,
and for at least for the 1 year. I don't know. I don't really know where I'm going with this. I guess we'll just go to my next point. Which
no, but you know what? I mean, and then even like now, it's like, well, is it Marvin Bagley or is it Michael Porter as number one player in the country?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, even looking forward to the draft. I mean, you brought up a point before we started that. Yeah. You know, this year was all about guards.
Right. You had Markel, you had Dennis Smith, you had, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you had Lonzo Ball, you had like four of the top six, seven picks were all point guards. And so for this draft, it's going to be the complete opposite. Like, you're going to have Marvin Bagley, who's 6'11", you're going to have, you know, Michael Porter, who's 6'10", you're going to have Dyrus Mo Bamba, who's, you know, 6'1", 7'1", and you're going to have DeAndre Ayton, who's a seven-footer, all potentially top five picks as of right now.
Yeah.
So a completely drastic change of what it was this year. And I guess you could say this year was more like people are saying it's going to small balls in terms of, you know, the guard play and you know, sending it out to the perimeter. So it'll be interesting to see as the season progresses if it stays like that, where it'll be a, you know, big man dominated draft.
So, in your opinion, strictly your opinion, who's the number one player in this class? Is it Michael Porter or Bagley?
That's an extremely difficult question. I mean, that's going to be, I think it's going to come down all the way to, like, March. You know, I mean, people are now, ESPN is already, you know, crowning Marvin as the number one player in the country. I think it's super hard to say it right now. You know what's interesting? So, here you have, you know, the last two seasons, even going back to Ben Simmons, going back to Markelle Fultz, the top player has decided to go to a program that's either, you know, it's not one of the top programs in the country, in the case of LSU and Washington, that had a losing record and try to get them, you know, to the NCAA tournament. Both times they failed. So it was interesting to see Marvin, who could have gone to USC, which was like the other school in consideration, Southern California. It was very interesting to see him go to Duke, considering that. And then you have Michael Porter, who actually decided to keep that trend going and went to Missouri. He's from Columbia, so he's from the area, and he will be trying to get Missouri back, you know, to the big dance. When was the last time they went to the big dance? I don't know.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go and say it's been like – since like Kareem Rush, because that's way too extreme. Yeah. But it's been a while, man. But I mean, they got him and his brother Jonte, who are both there.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, my point was gonna be, so last year the Nathan Hell team, who just had Michael Porter, that pretty much, and Jonte. I mean, they had this top sophomore PJ Fuller, who's a 6'3" point guard, and they won 29-0. They were the number one team in the country. So he kind of had some experience of being the only guy or whatever, you know, the main guy on the squad, and being able to take his team to a, you know, pretty good season, undefeated and number one team in the country. So we did it at the high school level. Obviously, you know, high level D1 ball is a whole completely different beast, but it'll be interesting to see if he can do that. You know, the interesting part is neither Ben Simmons or Markel were playing for their hometown, where in this case, Michael is from that area. His two sisters play for Missouri's, the girls, the women's team. His dad used to coach the women's team, was an assistant coach for the women's team while his two daughters were there. So it's a long history with the Missouri basketball team. And
wait, how many Porter kids are there?
So it's eight siblings in total. More on that later, but it's eight siblings in total. Mom and dad's 10 of them in the house. It's pretty
jeez,
big house.
Man.
So Porter is, I guess, the third oldest one. So his two older sisters are already at Missouri. One is a sophomore, one is a senior, I believe, or junior. Now him and Johnson, so four of the eight Porters are going to be suiting up for the Missouri.
And dad is
going to be coaching. The
so
assistant
five,
coach.
Five of yeah. the 10 are 50% of the families.
Oh, yeah. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I, don't quote me this, but his mom, Porter's mom's sister, is the woman's head coach at Missouri.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, I love that.
Wow, yeah.
That all in the family, man. That's great. That story, that's going to be a huge story this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they're going to have 100% attendance of all the Porter kids, I would imagine, right? Yeah.
I would hope so. I mean, so, and so, Michael's 6'10. I mean, Michael can do it all. I mean, he's
probably
KD-ish
a beast,
as he gets.
Yeah.
Can he shoot? He was the best shooter in the country. I was telling everybody this last year in high school. He was the best shooter in high school ball at 6'10.
There's literally no reason for him to be going to college right now. I feel the same way about Bagley, too.
Yeah.
Like, what?
No.
Why are we doing this? This is just a formality at this point.
I mean, people argue that either one of them could have been a top five. Some of them even say top draft pick in this draft, the one that just passed.
And this one was stacked.
Exactly.
Yeah. That tells Man, so I mean that's great. Great as far as, all right, it's stupid they're going to college. There's the one and done rule just should be abolished, but it's great for, you know, the talent entering the NBA. It's like to have two back to back years where the probably top 10 picks are going to be potentially or supposedly really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like, that's 20 potential stars in the NBA. So that makes our job a lot easier. Right. And it makes, you know, it makes the draft more fascinating, as it always is. But, you know, if you have guys like this, it just makes everything a lot better.
Right.
And it keeps the focus on basketball.
Exactly.
Which
is
great.
You look at the high school class, you got Zion coming with 2018, you got LaMelo with 2019, so it's gonna keep going.
I love it.
It's pretty exciting.
But you know, we should probably talk about RJ Barrett a little bit, who just reclassified to 2018. Right.
Yep.
And you know, it's basically him and Zion are 1 and 2. Depending on what you read, where you read, how you read it, they're flip-flopping pretty much. So, you know, he's got an interesting story. He's from Canada. He led Canada to the under-19 FIBA, gold?
Their first ever, gold medal for any age group for Canada.
For
Canada's
basketball.
For basketball. So the first time they ever international competition finished first in a basketball international tournament.
So, I mean, he's a huge deal in Canada.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Canadians will swear that he's, at this age, light years ahead of what Wiggins was.
Wow.
Who was the number one pick a couple years ago, 2014. So,
that's huge. Like, Wiggins was like a freak in high school. Yeah. So, I mean, what is this? I don't know. Not necessarily in the broad scheme. Like, what does this do for Canada hoops? Like, that story, I feel like, is told constantly. But, as far as, for next year, where does he project? Like, what schools are you looking at? I think he just cut his list to five, right?
He just cut his list to five literally 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
So it's Oregon, it's Duke, it's Arizona, it's Kentucky, and it's I'm blanking on the fifth one.
I saw the Oregon one. Oregon always, like, sneaks its way in there with these guys. But, I mean, as you look that up, I'll just keep rambling about RJ Barrett. So he's like a big point guard. We just did the story on him.
He's 6'7", completed one, completed two, completed three. Mon Bird, he's going to the same high school as Ben Simmons did, as D'Angelo Russell did, as Joel Embiid went there for a year, Dakari Johnson. They play a national schedule, one of the top teams in the country.
Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to play
Michigan. That's
Michigan.
So it's final five for RJ Barrett: Arizona, Duke, Michigan, Oregon, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So 6'7", can play the 1, 2, 3. Monverde hasn't played the 1, so imagine that, 6'7", point guard, probably still growing. Led Canada to Canada was actually, on our story, it kind of mentions it. So they played, it was in Egypt, the FIBA U19 World Cup, and Canada plays the American squad, who was coached by John Calipari.
That's right.
Had Hamidou Diallo, had one of the top, a bunch of top players, American players in the country, college players, and the USA team was favored to win by 20. And here comes Team Canada, who has never ever claimed a gold medal for any age group. And I believe the stat was like 34 points, 13 rebounds for RJ. So he's a real deal. He can play 1, 2, and 3.
You seen him play at all?
I've seen him play with Monverde. Monverde, some play a hoop hall, had some crazy numbers as well. I think
they're going to play Spartanburg, right, this season?
Well, it was a tweet. So we put out a tweet saying, so who's going to want to play in the country? Is it Zion for 2018? Is it Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett? And then Monverde, who's the school that RJ goes to, said in a tweet, they quote tweeted us saying that they're going to be at the Beach Classic in South Carolina, and they're praying, quote praying, that they end up playing Spartanburg, which is where Zion Williamson plays, so that they can settle this argument once and for all.
Breaking news alert.
So we'll see.
We shall. So I think it was at Nations where you saw Thon Maker's little brother, right?
Yeah. So Thon Maker's little brother.
Mator Maker.
So just a little kind of like, let's go back a little bit. So I saw them play a couple years ago. So they were up in Canada, Athletes Institute, which is Orangeville. And that team was Thon Maker, Jamal Murray, who are both in the league, and Mator Maker as well. And obviously, at the time, Jamal looked like he was going to be a future pro. So did Thon. Thon was bringing up the ball, playing point guard.
Yeah.
But then you have Mator, who just looked so out of it. He did not look engaged. And it kind of started to look like a situation where it was like he was just there because his brother was there and not necessarily because he wanted to be there. And so it's so striking to see where, I guess, 2 years later, like here we are in Houston and here are the top, talking about top players in the country, you're talking about, Romeo Langford, Zion Williamson, all these top 10, top 20 kids there, Cole Anthony, and Mator Maker leads the entire Adidas Nations in scoring. Comes out as the leading scorer for Adidas Nations. He averaged 26 points per game. Looks so engaged. He had that showdown with against Zion. Plays Zion twice. One, I think the last game, if I'm not mistaken, he must have had last game he had 31 points against Zion. Championship game, 31
Damn.
Points against Zion. Zion did his thing, had 28 and 10. The first game he must have had like 16, something like that, 18 points. Looks so engaged. Was clapping, like yelling at people's faces, like pumping his chest.
He's a junior.
He is. He is gonna be a post grad senior. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's doing his senior year all over again. And I'm assuming now that after this tournament,
he's
going to blow up. Miss Florence Pine blowing up in terms of school options. So he'll be going in with the class of 2018. So it's just fascinating to see how 2 years later, this is the dude who just looked like he was just there just because, Thon was there. He did not want to play. They're not really seem to enjoy basketball. 2 years later, literally playing against the top players in the country and, doing his thing. So I think that's one guy to keep an eye on. Because, also, he could probably do what Thon did.
I was thinking, if you're looking at Thon, he had a great rookie year.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at someone taking a shot at Mator, man. Right. It's like the same thing with Giannis. Like, his little brothers are all going to college, probably off the strength of, how much he grew in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm all in on Mator, man. All in on the Maker family.
Oh, yeah.
It got
to
be. So, lastly, we'd be remiss if, we were talking high school ball, didn't mention Jelly Fam, of course. But Javon Quinterly, regarded the top point guard in class of 2018, right?
Top three point guard.
Yeah, top three point guard, just committed to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to him.
Yeah.
So he's going to join. He's in the class with Sharif O'Neal, Shaq's kid. And then who else is in that class? I think it's just those two for now,
right? Now, yeah. In general, Arizona's been landing
stacked,
kids
left and right.
Left and right.
And Arizona. Obviously we're talking to Javon, but projecting for this year, they're gonna have a lot of dudes back. Alonzo Trier, Brandon Randolph is coming in. DeAndre Ayton is coming in. So Riley Alkins is coming back. So they're as we said before, they're a mix of young talent and kids who have been there for at least one, in Alonzo's case, 2 years. And, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But as far as Javon, kind of is the leader of Jelly. Well, not the leader of Jelly Fam, but the highest ranked Jelly Fam member now that
picking up the torch for Dimes.
Now that Isaiah is going to Minnesota this year. I don't know. He, as we discussed yesterday, he's probably the best passing point guard in the class.
He plays the right way. He's not, I guess, in a way.
He's not super explosive, not super
not
athletic.
Super quick, not super fast. But he makes it. He's a playmaker, makes the right passes, finds the right man. He can thread the needle. So he doesn't, he's not that kind of turnover prone guy. He's the kind of guy you want sort of running the show in terms of point guard. So in that sense, I know because he's part of the whole Jolly Fan, people probably think he's this flashy dude that,
he's super opposite. Composed. Yeah,
super composed, makes the right play, smart, pass first, finds the open man, knows how to run the offense. Only 6'1".
He's at Hudson, right?
Hudson Catholic in Jersey, and so it'll be interesting to see just because I saw him in Italy. So in Italy,
there goes my mic.
You're right?
Yeah,
you're right.
Okay.
In Italy, the Team USA team was a U-17 team was playing against the U-19 European teams.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see
that's
him
like
play
pros.
Against, a lot of those guys are already playing. Yeah. And it was interesting to see how sort of he played against up a couple years in competition. Because he's not so explosive and so quick, he can't really beat anybody to the basket. At least when I saw him in Italy, so he struggled with that a little bit. But I mean, once he brings it up the board, the defense has to get back because I mean he's finding that open man right away. I mean he can shoot it too. He can gun it from distance. He'll sneak. I mean he's not the quickest or most explosive, but he'll sneak up on you with some moves here and there.
Yeah, no, I'm rooting for that kid big time, man. Yeah. He just seemed like you watch interviews with him. He seems like a really good dude. Like he's always like saying that he just wants to be a good example for his little brother and all the kids in his neighborhood. So it just seems like he's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah. Probably just one of the smartest players in his class.
Yeah. But I mean, and then speaking of Jersey, along with him, you got him, Lou King, and Naz Reid, three of the top 10 players right in Jersey.
15,
so
20,
top 15. Excuse me, part itself.
I don't want to.
Yeah, but I mean, and like Naz is a beast, man. That kid is just
He's like dude is like 6'10" and can play like play any position he wants to play. Basically.
I know. He's so funny watching him play because he just like toys with kids. Because he's like a grown man out there already. Love watching him. I haven't seen Louis King play really at all. I'll be honest. So I really know nothing about him.
You know, it's a funny thing. I mean, Jersey just keeps bringing them, dude. It's like every year, it just keeps bringing them.
What year is Luther Muhammad now?
I believe it's 2019. Oh,
so he still got 2 years because he was player of the year in Jersey, I believe, either last year or the year before.
Yeah.
This is where we need Eric Justin to come through and let him tell everything Jersey ball. So we're probably misquoting ourselves here, but it's all good. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that pretty much wraps it up for me. You got anything else that we missed? Any crystal ball predictions about where guys are going to end up, anything like that?
I won't do that to myself.
Good choice. Because knowing us, we'll probably do it. And then before this goes live, someone will commit and want to do the whole thing over again.
It's only right. It's only fair.
But Frankie, thank you, man. Appreciate you taking out some time. I know you're busy.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, you already know. But, I love high school ball. Love talking with you about it because you're one of the best out there and you know your shit better than anyone. So, always a pleasure, my guy. Thank you,
man.
All right, peace.